Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I've been kind of challenged on the ex-formerly Twitter today just with responses on Amendment 5. And the level of misunderstanding, which is one of the reasons it got smoked yesterday, is just kind of stunning. So, like, one guy, I just want to give an example here, and Dwayne Patterson is going to jump on with us here in a minute. We're going to talk about Michigan and some of the other things. But somebody says to me, I would like to eliminate income tax, but not a 25% sales tax rate. First of all, that was never going to happen. Not even close to that. There's not even a state in the country that has a sales tax rate of local and state combined that's in excess of 11.5%, 12%. Okay, so that's just ridiculous. So then someone says the entire problem is that the Pro 5 argument made no sense. Quote, we're not going to raise taxes on anything, but we're not going to cut the funds either. Plus, you'll be making more money because you won't pay income tax, and we're going to gain new jobs because they can pay you less now. Well, that's ridiculous because they were going to cut spending. There's little triggers that are in this thing that were very specific to what would happen. Again, it was ill-conceived, so in the end, it doesn't matter. It's been moot. But so this guy who's a retiree, and this is where I think people might even be more confused. He says, you would have a little more money on your paycheck. True. Taxes on sales and services would go up and would cost more than what most pay in income tax. I'm retired and I pay no state income tax. I would be voting just to raise sales taxes on myself, like many retired people. My response to BP Blue Eyes was, you didn't have any money in a 401k or an IRA? I guess you didn't save enough money for retirement, because that's not smart. If you did, you're paying Missouri income tax. Okay? I promise you. And a little more. Now, I do okay. I'm just going to tell you. But my household Missouri income tax is going to probably land at about $12,000 or $13,000 this year. All right? And there is no way you can convince me that any sales tax increase would exceed anywhere near that. It wouldn't exceed $3,000. It likely wouldn't exceed $2,000. So for those of you who are paying $3,000, $4,000. Look at your W-2. Look at your paycheck. Look how much you paid in income tax. Think about whether you'd like to write a check for that amount at the end of the year. Or do you think it'd be okay that if you get a haircut that you don't pay taxes on right now, that you pay 25% or 20, not 25%, 20 cents more, 25 cents more, right? That's where this was sold in a very poor way by Republicans, because they didn't explain that to people. And everyone had conjured up in their mind that, oh my God, taxes on everything are going up. Like the one realtor that I, you know, made a bet with, somebody posted the cost of a $300,000 house is going to be $43,000 more with sales tax. Stop it. That's just ridiculous. That's why I bet that woman $43,000 that would never happen.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. Here's something I'm seeing on the feed too. I'm retired. How would that benefit me?
If you're retired, you are still likely paying Missouri income tax. If you're not, if you're just getting pensions and Social Security, well, then you would be paying more in sales taxes on some things. But most people are retired who are retired are still paying state income tax. So make sure before you make a comment like that, make sure you know what you're talking about. For those of you who are Missouri income tax free, well, then you would probably have to pay a little bit more in taxes. I don't know what to say, but for economic growth and moving the state forward? Is that worth it? I guess not, right? I mean, it's not going away. Believe me, we're going to have continued conversations about this. Dwayne Patterson with HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. I'm genuinely curious, before we get into the national stuff, what your viewpoint would be from the left coast on Missouri choosing very forcefully to keep their income tax. Like, this thing failed so badly last night, Dwayne, like 3-1, almost 4-1.
Well, first of all, hello, Mark, hello, Sue, and hello to all you straight-up racists in the greater listenership that did not vote for Cory Booker.
I know, they are racist, you're right.
Straight-up racist, yes. Yeah, so listen.
Even though the other guy was black, too, but you're still racist.
Doesn't
if you didn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No, I know.
Because white Democrats voted for Wesley Bell, he's got proximity to whiteness.
Exactly.
We're using the language of Francesca Hong now.
Thank you.
So on the issue, I heard your setup to this. Here's what I think about this. The messaging on how you sell this matters immensely, obviously. And I don't see much of a difference in how this was sold or not sold very well compared to nationally how the Republicans need to sell all the growing indicators that are going on with the economy.
Well, I think you're right about that. Yeah.
And I think we're missing the opportunity to be able to not just say, you know, socialists and commies bad, which they are. You have to have a positive message. And manufacturing is going through the roof. People's take-home income is, on average, $3,000 more than it was last year. Inflation has come down. All sorts of things are happening good. It's not perfect yet because of the Iran war. But the economic indicators for the next year or two, if we don't muck it up by putting a bunch of crazy people in power, we're going to do really well. But we've got to do the messaging better, and we're just not doing it. And I think that was the problem with the income tax in Missouri. I was just looking real quick. You guys do somewhere in the order of 12.9, maybe 13, as much as economic impact of $21.4 billion of tourism every year. Do you not?
I'm going to have to accept those numbers. People that voted against us act like we don't get any tourism. I guess they forget about Kansas City, St. Louis, and Branson. Yeah, we get a lot of tourism.
$21 billion of tourism.
Right.
Now, if $21 billion had, what, 25, you know, or not 25%, What was the number going to be? 4% higher? 5% higher?
Maybe 5%. It would go from, it would depend, first of all, on the triggers, but it would go from whatever it is right now to nothing.
So how do you, so to your retired person that says, how does this affect me? Well, what it's doing is it's spreading the cost of police and fire and roads and everything else in the state. It is spreading that cost now to everybody that helps use it, which includes people visiting the state.
Well, yeah, exactly. The other problem with this is I think people are assuming that, well, this is what happened here at least, that everything on the planet was going to get taxed when that wasn't going to happen, even though the governor kind of made that clear. So the scare tactics work because in the back of people's minds, they really thought it was a tax increase. And that's what I'm hearing from people today on social media. But let's talk about our friend El Sayed. Okay, here he is in Michigan.
My hope is that our democracy will never be the same. So when Big Pharma and Big Tech, when DTE and Blue Cross come a knocking saying, you know what, this is our democracy and we're going to own it, from here on out, we can always point and say, no, this is the people's democracy, and we will always own it.
Now, I guess I don't even know how to properly pronounce his name. He tried to teach us that last night.
They think that you want to use my whole name against me. Mike, listen, man, if you can't say the name, it's Abdurrahman. Keep the name out your damn mouth.
Yeah. Dwayne, I'm going to say I can't say the name because I don't even know what he just said right there.
You know what I want you to do? Close your eyes, play that cut again, and tell me, listen to the cadence. Listen to the rhetoric and tell me who he's channeling. Tell me who he's trying to impersonate.
They think that you want to use my whole name against me. Mike, listen, man, if you can't say the name, it's Abdurrahman. Keep the name out your damn mouth.
Yeah. Well, to me, he sounds like Hassan Piker quite a bit.
Well, there's some of that. But
Mamdani, Hassan Piker.
In the lead up, right before that clip, if your guys can go back and cut it at some point, in the 30 seconds leading up to that, it's Barack Obama. It's the same rhetoric. It's the same cadence. He's trying to channel.
Oh, that I believe. Yeah.
he's trying to channel sounding like Barack Obama, like, you know, like New Hope.
Right.
Is what he's trying to sell.
So we talked about this a little bit earlier, because, and I think you're right about that. And, you know, Obama had the Reverend Wright in his background, and the Reverend Wright was just awful. So people like me and you and Hugh Hewitt and Rush Limbaugh, we tried to highlight that, right? But the legacy media didn't want to go down that path. But he was able to distance himself from that. So along those lines, two things. I remember, I think a lot of us thought, man, a dude named Barack Hussein Obama is not going to win to be president of this country. Well, we were off by a lot on that. So my question would be a couple of fold here. Should we be careful here in to not underestimate Mr. El-Sayed in Michigan? So that would be one question. And, you know, what do Republicans do to respond to this so they can get back on the proper messaging?
And both are reasonable questions. Number one, no, you never want to underestimate your opponent. That's stupid to do in politics, is to underestimate. I think he is supremely beatable, and why I don't think he is going to be this year's Barack Obama and swamp everything is because Barack Obama got 94% of the black vote in 2008 and similar numbers in 2012. If you look at where his strong points were and where his weak points were, Haley Stevens cleaned up in the black districts in Detroit.
No, this is important because
he's not selling to a lot of people outside of the college age class and the Dearborn radicals. That's really where, and he underperformed everywhere.
Very much so.
The only place he ran up the score is in Ann Arbor and in Dearborn, right?
Yeah, and where those are the Arab Muslim strongholds, right? This is important for you to make this point. And I got to give credit to CNN, because there was someone on CNN last night when I got home from the coverage. They were making this point as well, that he underperformed. Look, this race, if it was 9 points or 10 or 11 points, he beats Haley Stevens. Like the polls were predicting, well, that's a different game, right? Now you're looking at this as Mike Rogers might be in trouble. And again, I'm not underestimating. I'm not saying this thing is over. But because he underperformed in those areas, I think that gives Rogers a lot better, you know, starting point from the get-go. But again, this guy is going to be a chameleon. He's going to try to change his stripes and run away from this stuff. And you know as well as I do that the media is going to help him. They helped Mamdani. They're going to help him do this in Michigan.
I think the bloom is already coming off the rose. In his presser today, when he did his victory lap, what did he say? He said, look, to the people out there that are worried about, you know, how I'm going to do with the Jewish community, I want you to know, I'm paraphrasing. He said, some of my best friends are Jews. He basically said, I want to break bread at Seder with Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you know much about the whole Judaic religion and what they do on Seder, but they don't break bread. It's unleavened. They have to tear it. He doesn't have the first concept of what he's talking about when it comes to that, and I don't think anybody believes him. If you can name me one Republican in Michigan that is going to see Mike Rogers as a nominee and say, well, that tears it, I'm going to go vote for El-Sayed, that person does not exist. Do you think that there is a handful of people that specifically did not vote for El-Sayed this time because they think he's a whack job and they wanted Haley Stevens instead because she's progressive, but at least she's not insanely stupid. And now that Sayed is the nominee, do you think that every available Democrat is going to come home, or are some going to sit on their hands?
I think a lot of them are going to sit on their hands. But here's the other thing to not underestimate is the Trump derangement syndrome, because that's what they're counting on, I think. But yeah, you're going to have, and some of this, I think I heard this discussed last night. Look, Trump, maybe Joe Rogan played a big role in this. He got younger people motivated and interested. A lot of that was economic focused. Well, if you look at the polling now, he's lost a lot of the shine on that. And that's where these DSA candidates are really connecting with young people. Now, he's not a DSA guy, but he is just as radical and he's dangerous. But I don't see young people coming out for him the way that they did for Mamdani or some of these other candidates. So that's really maybe going to be the determining factor.
And let me add one last layer on that if you want to move on. But the one last layer is, why did Donald Trump win in Michigan in 2024? What was the key constituency group of the Democrats that he broke and took? It was the labor unions.
Oh yeah, well that's right.
He split the union vote. And are the unions unhappy with Donald Trump now after the tariffs and after manufacturing boom and after a bunch of workers have all sorts of really good paying jobs?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Yeah. They still like Donald Trump an awful lot, don't they? Do you think that they want to say, yeah, but El Sayed is the guy that we want now? The unions aren't going to go for him.
No, they won't. By the way, here's John Fetterman on all this.
He was really arrogant in that race. And now he have just found out that, less than a majority of Democrats want him.
Why is he the only guy saying things like this?
I mean, he has like a little man syndrome kind of energy. Yeah, well, I can't come together with someone if you are willing to embrace people that loves Hamas or that thinks America deserved 9/11. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, and that person he's talking about is Hassan Piker.
Here's the take nuke for you, okay? You are all unbelievably Islamophobic pieces of okay? You literally called the dude a terrorist.
So that is Hassan Piker addressing moderate Democrats, like people who voted for Haley Stevens. So that's not exactly how you bring people over to your candidate, right? Insulting them, saying they're a bunch of idiots because they didn't vote for Syed.
That is not going to, and again, you said that El Syed's going to have to now trip all over himself to moderate for the general election. Guys like Hassan Piker are not going to allow him to moderate, and I don't think he thinks he has to. The fun part about today that got lost in everything with El Sayed, did you see what happened in New York today with Comrade Mamdani?
I don't think I did today.
I bet this happened while you were on the air. He was supposed to be given a speech today out in, somewhere across Hell's Half Acre up in New York. And he takes the stage to deliver a speech, and they literally
booed him
off
yes,
the stage.
Yes, I did see a quick clip of this during a break.
Booed him off the stage. On my radio blogger X account, I've got the video of him getting booed off the stage, and I'm thinking, if you're his comms team, you're saying they're not booing. That's Hassan Piker's crowd out there, and they're just saying, Jews, and my work here is finished.
Wow. Yeah, well, that is kind of an interesting thing that happened in this Michigan race.
I think we're at a tipping point now, and you're right. We still have to bore down, and we have to have a good message, and we have to have a reason to vote for us all across the board, up and down the ticket. But that said, the country outside of college-age enclaves and bubbles around the country, this is not selling in Missouri. There's a reason Cori Bush didn't even get 30%.
No, she got blown out.
She got hammered.
Right. And a lot of us thought that was going to be closer. Really, we did. Dwayne Patterson, awesome to have you on. We're going to have a lot of fun here in the next few months talking about Michigan, that's for sure.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.